Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's Tuesday, June 28th, 2005. You're listening to the Hour of the Time on WBCQ The Planet, 7.415 megahertz and 9.330 megahertz. Monticello, Maine. I'm your host for today, Rob Houghton, and I'm here just for a few seconds to introduce the classic repeat broadcast we'll be doing from Bill Cooper. Let me look at the date here. 10-14-96, entitled Reality Check. It's a nice little tape I came across the other day. I was listening to myself, and I thought you folks might enjoy the inspiration as well. So here we go.
You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, my dear.
You're welcome.
It's been a while since you did the pledge for us.
Yeah.
But you haven't really been up to par lately, have you?
Mm-mm.
Feeling better tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See you later.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Don't go away, folks. Got some things to talk about.
I remember my first love affair. Somehow or another, the whole darn thing went wrong. But my mama had some great advice, so I thought I'd put it in the words of this song. I can still hear her saying, boy,
boy, boy.
Oh, I see you sitting out there all alone, crying your eyes out, 'cause the woman that you love is gone. Oh, it's gonna be, that's gonna be a whole lot of trouble in your life. So listen to me, get up off your knees, 'cause only the strong survive. That's what she said, only the strong survive. Only the strong survive. Yeah, you gotta be strong. You better hold on. Don't
go
around with your head hung down. Well, I wouldn't let the little girl know. Let her know that she made me feel like a clown. There are a whole lot of girls,
whole lot of girls,
looking for a good man like you. Oh, but you'll never meet them if you give up now and say your life is true. Then she said, oh, little strong survive.
Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, only the strong survive. And I think... with emphasis, we need to talk a little bit about that tonight because things are getting worse. Much worse. Some people, for some reason, take issue with me when I level with you and tell you the true state of affairs without pulling any punches, because I don't think you can survive unless you know the truth. I don't think you can even wake up unless you know the truth. I don't believe that I can accomplish anything by sitting here and stroking your egos and telling you how beautiful and wonderful you are and how we've got lots of time, and if we just, you know, work with politicians and things like that, everything is going to be fine. I can't do that. I can tell you that if we do all of those things, we will be responsible people, exhausting every lawful and constitutional and proper and responsible method to try to restore the public republic. Nobody needs to restore the public. The public is always the blithering sheeple public. But to restore the republic and to maintain freedom, which in my estimation is the ultimate achievement of all human experience. Because in the entire history of the world, man has always been owned by somebody, even kings. You say, well, who could possibly own a king? No king was ever set upon a throne except by the power of the priesthood. Whatever that may have happened to be at whatever time in history that king was put upon that throne. And nothing has changed today. See, Bill Clinton wouldn't be sitting on the throne of this country unless the priesthood, the power that be behind the throne, put him there and tell him what to do. He's carrying out an agenda, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not his agenda. He's not smart enough, in case you haven't discovered that. So, I lay it on the line. I tell you the truth, whatever the truth happens to be, knowing that if you know the truth, you can prepare yourselves to deal with that truth and deal with reality, and you won't be destroyed when you discover that it really is the truth. You see, what if I stroked you along here and lied to you and tell you how wonderful you are, that you're sitting on your couch doing nothing, most of you, some of you are not doing that, some of you are very active. What if I were to tell you that everything can be solved with no problem just by writing letters to your congressman and making some calls and sending some faxes, which you should be doing just to be responsible? And what if I told you that there was no threat or any danger from the federal government whatsoever, that this just, you know, we're just going through some rough times and some people are just politically misguided and there's some corruption in Washington. There is no big conspiracy. And by exercising the power of the vote and being active in our community politics, we can turn everything around. Would I be doing you a favor? Well, I think some of you probably wish that if I did that, I would be doing you a favor, and you probably wish that that was the case. But the truth is, no, I would not be doing you a favor. I would be doing you a great injustice. I would be wasting my time, ladies and gentlemen. And we would most probably achieve only another kind of sleep. But nevertheless, sleep is sleep. Okay? And I don't want to do that to you. I want to awaken you. And to be fully awakened means that you have to be confronted with a situation that is so horrible, so reprehensible, so against everything that we have ever been taught in our lives, that it may shock you into some kind of a lethargic state of depression for a while until you learn how to deal with it, however each individual does that. But most people do. And when they do, they get angry, and then they want to do something to rectify it. And when they get busy, they come out of that depression, and then they learn how to really live. Because in your daily life, if you're not dealing with truth and reality, if you're not stepping out in front of the crowd, taking a risk, I like to call it walking on the edge of the razor blade. If you're not walking on the edge of that razor blade, folks, you're not really alive. You're not living. Chances are there's no purpose in your life. There's no direction. And I know that many of you feel that way. Many of you went through school, reared by your family, who were probably working blue-collar or white-collar Americans, searching out in their own way for the realization of the American dream. And they may or may not have achieved it. It doesn't matter. What matters is all your life you were told that you weren't smart enough to own the company. You had to prepare yourself to work for somebody else. Isn't that correct? And you were taught wrong. You weren't taught how to invest your money. You weren't taught how to come up, to bring yourself up from whatever position you found yourself in when you were reared by your parents. who chances are achieved a better life than their parents, and they weren't really taught how to do it either. They just did it. But so many people, you see, buy into that kind of a concept. They really think that they're worthless. I mean, let's get real here. Nobody really thinks that they're worthless, but they have a very low self-esteem. They can't imagine themselves climbing any higher than where they're at most of the time. Although they'd like to, they just don't. There are so many people who are stuck in jobs, ladies and gentlemen, they've been in those jobs all their lives. Filing. File clerks. Filing papers in filing cabinets for somebody else their whole life. Do you really believe that they enjoy that kind of work? I don't think so. There may be some few of them who do, but I can't imagine it. And the pay, ladies and gentlemen, is not very good. And I could go through any number of hundreds of different kinds of jobs, and the description would be the same. Why do people stay in jobs like that? Because somehow they've been convinced by the system and by life and by their parents and by school and by school teachers and by bosses and supervisors in their own mind that they're not any better than that, that they can't be any better than that. To hope to be any better than that is to ask for disappointment, and it's just not true. It isn't true. Never was true. You see, because the man who heads the company has the same brain that the person who sweeps the floors has. He's just learned how to use it. Now, learning how to use your brain doesn't mean that you have to go to college, or that you have to read 5,000 books, or that you have to have an IQ of 180. No. Throughout history, there have been men and women with an IQ of 80, which is supposed to be not very good, who have achieved greatness in their lives, who have achieved a pretty good modicum of wealth, who have done great things, who have invented, all because they believed that they could and they didn't listen to anyone else. And they did their best and they learned how to use their brain. An IQ, ladies and gentlemen, is a measurement, really, of how you have learned to use your brain by thinking, and an awful lot of it has to do with common sense. Common sense? What is common sense? Common sense is when you touch a stove and it's hot and the coil is glowing red and you burn your finger. Common sense is when you make the connection in your brain that when you touch that stove and that coil was hot because the stove was turned on, you're going to get burned and it really hurts and you better not ever do it again. So the next time you walk in the kitchen and you see that the stove is on, you don't touch the coils. Now, another jump above that that shows even better intelligence is that you never ever touch the coils at all unless you have to perform maintenance on the stove, and you don't just look at the dial to make sure the dial is turned off. You unplug the stove and then you let the stove sit for a while to make sure that the coil is cool before you touch it. That's IQ. That's IQ, ladies and gentlemen. It's also common sense. IQ is the ability on a low level to say 2 and 2 is 4. On a little higher level, it's the ability to say 2 times 2 is 4. On a little higher level than that, it's the ability to say the square root of 4 is 2. And a part of it is education, another part of it is the ability to think. And anyone can do it. It may be a little more difficult for some than others, because, ladies and gentlemen, for the most part, scientific study has proven that your ability to think and feel good about yourself and use and exercise common sense is developed before the age of 5 years old. Now, I say five because I want to cover the bases, because there's studies that say before the age of three. There's studies that say before the age of four. There's studies that say before the age of five. But all authorities agree that this is developed before the age of five. So if you had problems in your life before the age of 5 years old, and you didn't have adults who would help you, or you were deprived or locked in some room somewhere, for long periods of time, or you suffered childhood illness for several years, it may be more difficult for you to do these things, ladies and gentlemen, but the fact remains, you can do them. The human ability to confront the truth, realize that it's the truth, and go into the survival mode and learn to deal with that truth and overcome it if necessary and prevail is astounding. But the fact remains that human beings must know what that truth is before they can go into the mode that lets them overcome it. And there is a tendency, a great tendency, for most people to ignore the truth unless they are backed in the corner and the truth becomes threatening to them personally. Most people have the tendency to say, oh yes, I know that that's going on, but it's not going to happen to me. And whoever it happens to must deserve it. Remember that fellow? You know, 3 days ago, they raided his home in the middle of the night, and they took out all those guns, and they spread them on the grass, and they said that he was a terrorist, and they took him away. And then in the newspaper, it talked about the fact that he was a member of a militia, and they were going to lock this guy up forever because he was going to blow up the Empire State Building. I always knew there was something funny about him. He was always talking about the Constitution things. Nobody ever talks about those things. But it'll never happen to me. You recognize anybody there? Maybe yourself? Maybe your neighbor? You see, they have the public so brainwashed, ladies and gentlemen, that you can have an exemplary citizen. A neighbor whose home you have visited many, many times. You have seen the kinds of guns he has, a shotgun, a deer rifle, a pistol, maybe a .22 rifle that he's had ever since he was a child. He may have brought an AK-47 back from Vietnam, or he may have purchased one simply because in Vietnam he learned that that's one of the best weapons ever made in the history of the world. And he may have it there for self-defense. Or he may just have it as a bit of nostalgia. Who knows? Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's perfectly legal and lawful. And the right is protected by the Constitution for the United States of America. You know that thing he talks about sometimes that you've never read? And all of a sudden he becomes a political threat to the status quo. And in the middle of the night they raid his home. They spread these weapons out on his grass. They have a picture of these weapons in the newspaper the next day. On the 6 o'clock news, the anchor talks about Joe's house was raided, and it was found that Joe had been planning to blow up the Empire State Building, and he had automatic weapons. Now, you're sitting there. You know this is a lie, but you don't say a word, do you? No, you don't. Nobody has. And nobody will, and even if you did, nobody would report it on the news or in the newspapers. How do I know all this, ladies and gentlemen? Because it's happening all across the country. All across this country it's happening. It happened in Waco, Texas, where they said that they went to serve a warrant on David Koresh because he had automatic weapons. And they wanted two people, David Koresh, and I forget who the other person was. The truth is, they had no automatic weapons whatsoever. Period. None. Zero, zip, zilch. And even if they had, ladies and gentlemen, it would have only required at that time a $200 tax to make it a legal ownership. You don't kill people for that. You don't drive up in front of their homes with cattle cars full of armed, flak-jacketed, teenage, ninja, jack-booted Nazi thugs. You don't do that. No, you go and knock on the door and say, we understand you have an automatic weapon here that you haven't paid a tax on. If you don't pay the tax on that automatic weapon, you're in violation of the law, and we're going to have to prosecute you. Would you like to pay that tax? It's only $200. Do you know anybody in the world confronted with that would not pay the $200 and make it legal? Then why wasn't that done, ladies and gentlemen? Why were those people murdered? They say they were only interested in the children. No, they weren't. They didn't care about the children. They murdered those children. Murdered them. They took tanks in there, ladies and gentlemen, armored personnel carriers, helicopter gunships that fired down through the roof and murdered people. They had snipers all around the place, killing people. For a $200 tax? That's what they claimed. When the American public wouldn't buy that, what did they say next? Well, they said David Koresh was promiscuously sleeping around with all the women in the building. What do you want to bet? Most of those agents are sleeping around with somebody somewhere. You really think they cared about that? What do you want to bet that a good portion of the people in Waco, Texas were sleeping all around the town with people and were promiscuous? What do you think about that? And have you heard the stories about Janet Reno and her sex life in Florida with other women? You really think she cared if David Koresh was sleeping around with those women? Not on your life. And then all of a sudden, they made allegations that they were there because the children were being abused. Well, if they were, it's not a federal offense, and the federal government has no business sticking their nose in it. It would have been a matter for the local authorities, wouldn't it? But you see, those same allegations had been made before by the same people who instigated this raid. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? The local authorities had investigated the Branch Davidians and their children, found that those children were the most well-adjusted, happiest, brightest group of any group of children that they had ever investigated, and that there was absolutely no substantiation for the allegations of child abuse whatsoever. Twice they had investigated, and twice they drew those conclusions. So what was that all about? Well, to this day, I don't really know. Except for one thing, that it was absolutely 100%, with no doubt whatsoever, about the destruction of the Constitution for the United States of America and the Bill of Rights. Can't happen in America, you say? How about Randy Weaver and his wife, Vicky, and his three children? Four children, actually. And his friend, Kevin. The BATF wanted to entrap someone so they could force that person to become a spy for them in the community that Randy Weaver sort of belonged to. You see, he was a separatist. He never harmed anyone. He didn't want to harm anyone. He didn't hurt anybody by that belief. And in America, you're entitled to believe whatever you want, aren't you? Is that true, or is that just a bunch of bullshit? Because they sent a BATF provocateur to sell Randy Weaver a sawed-off shotgun that was 1/4 inch shorter than the legal limit. 1/4 inch. He purchased it, and then later they sent another agent to buy it from him. He sold it all the time. He never measured the barrel. He was told that it was legal. He thought it was legal. And then they arrested him and charged him with possessing a sawed-off shotgun below the legal limit, and they were going to put him away forever. They told him that. Said, Randy, we'll let you off of this if you'll agree to become an informant for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. He said, no, I will not do that. They said, in that case, we're going to lock you away forever, and Randy knew he'd been had, so he took his wife and his children, moved up to Idaho, up on a mountain, and stayed there. Well, they eventually found him. Went out there. The dogs sensed the marshals were there. They didn't announce themselves. They were hiding in the bushes. Randy and his son and Kevin thought that there were deer on the property and grabbed their rifles and ran out to put some meat on the table. Well, the son ran into the marshals. They jumped up and killed his dog right in front of him, shot the dog. Didn't announce who they were, didn't say anything. The boy, thinking he was going to be killed, fired back. Kevin fired. Then they ran for the cabin, and the boy was shot in the back, ladies and gentlemen, murdered. One of the marshals was hit by his own people, not by Randy Weaver or either one of the two boys. He was shot and killed by his own people, another marshal. Later, during the siege of this family, by over 500 federal law enforcement personnel, FBI, BATF, military. Yeah, they had armored personnel, carriers, and helicopters up there too, ladies and gentlemen, for this little family. A scum-sucking, Nazi jackbooted thug dog named Lon Horiuchi, an FBI sniper, shot and killed Vicky Weaver as she stood in the door holding her 8-month-old baby to her breast. She had no weapon, was guilty of no crime, had committed no crime whatsoever. Murdered her. Shot Randy Weaver, shot Kevin. His son was dead. After it was all over, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? Randy Weaver was cleared of all charges. All charges, found guilty of nothing, and released. His wife is dead. His son is dead. He had been wounded. Kevin had been wounded. They had been up there in that cabin, bleeding, with his dead wife and son, while he was surrounded by the most terrible, vicious, ruthless might of the government machine that you can imagine. And at one point, a helicopter was trying to lift a rubber bladder full of fuel to drop on his cabin to incinerate them, just as they did at Waco, to destroy all the evidence and burn them to death. What was that all about? And began talking about making pipe bombs and urging everybody to make pipe bombs. Then everybody refused. Except for the informants, they went out and bought all the materials and bought the pipes and bought all this stuff. Brought it back, when nobody would help them make pipe bombs, they took it out in the dead of night and buried it on militia members' property without their permission or knowledge. And then they went to a judge and said that they knew that this material was there and that the militia was going to make bombs, and they obtained search warrants and went directly to the spot where it was buried because they put it there, dug it up, and all this has come out in testimony in court, ladies and gentlemen. That was in Georgia. And the press made a big to-do about it and said that they were planning to blow up the Olympic Games. Remember that? And then, just as I predicted, during the Olympic Games, they found a pipe bomb that went off shortly after it was found. Isn't that amazing? And tried to blame it on a security guard named Jewel, who had nothing to do with it. Phoenix, Arizona, all of a sudden, there's a Viper militia that nobody in Arizona ever heard of, nobody connected with any militia, that is, that was making bombs and training to blow up all the federal buildings in Phoenix, Arizona. And they found fertilizer in their garages amongst all the militia members. They found about 300 pounds of fertilizer, which is 6 bags of ammonium nitrate, in all of their combined garages. Ammonium nitrate is a grass fertilizer, ladies and gentlemen. In the poor soil in the desert of Phoenix, you need a lot of it to make grass grow and turn green and look beautiful. Found no bombs, yet the press went crazy. Claimed that these people were planning to blow up all the federal buildings in Phoenix, Arizona, that they were making bombs, had made bombs, had bomb materials, and the press recorded that they had over 70 automatic weapons. Another lie. They didn't have any automatic weapons. None at all. No bombs, no bomb-making materials, no nothing. They had never planned to blow up any buildings in Phoenix, much less federal buildings. The prosecutors in Phoenix, Arizona, have egg on their face. Janet Napolitano, the local witch queen, who refuses to prosecute child pornographers who are caught red-handed because I guess she loves child pornography. I can think of no other reason why she won't enforce that law, but yet she goes after a group of people that she calls the Viper Militia and makes up laws as she goes along. Makes up evidence, falsifies reports to the press, and then is extremely embarrassed when the judge lets most of them go and says that there is no substantiation for most of the charges. You see, it was all a lie. But do you think that the press reports the fact that it turns out to be a lie? No, they don't. Do you think the 6 o'clock news is going to tell anybody that across the country? No, they don't. Do you think it's going to be printed in the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, the Chicago Tribune, the San Francisco Chronicle? No, it's not. So what does the American people remember? They remember there was a Georgia militia that was going to blow up the Olympics, and later a pipe bomb blew up. It must have been them. And they remember that there was a Viper militia in Phoenix, Arizona, that was going to blow up all the federal buildings in Arizona, and there were bombs found, and they had over 70 automatic weapons. All of it lies. You see, this is propaganda, ladies and gentlemen. When these charges are brought, they know they're false. All they want is for the press to demonize patriots and militia in this country. And just recently, ladies and gentlemen, in Clarksburg, West Virginia, it's happened again. Leaders of the West Virginia Mountaineer Militia were arrested for planning to destroy the FBI's Criminal Justice Information Services Division complex in Clarksburg, about 80 miles south of Pittsburgh, and two other government buildings in West Virginia. What do you want to bet this turns out to be just like Georgia and Phoenix? And by the way, the group in Phoenix known as the Vipers was not a militia, was never a militia, never claimed to be a militia, was not associated with any militias in the state of Arizona. It was a motorcycle club. How about that? Recently, they found some children engaged in delinquency at a school, and they called them a militia in the press. Now, if you've been paying attention to your newspapers, you will notice that every bad group of people anywhere in the world is now called a militia. This is a well thought out, well planned propaganda attack upon the American people and the militias and the patriots that live in this country, a la the old Soviet Union in their best propaganda attempts. Never did it any better than this. And since those in charge destroying this country are communists and socialists, they were probably taught by the best that the old Soviet Union had, because Joseph McCarthy was right, ladies and gentlemen, all the way down the line. He was absolutely correct. This gun government had been infiltrated and was in the process of being destroyed from within by the international Marxist socialist machine run from Moscow. And since the fall of the Iron Curtain and the so-called split up of the Soviet Union, which is itself a deception, ladies and gentlemen, admitted by Mikhail Gorbachev, and some of the top Soviet generals have admitted it. Those who have had access to the archives say that the Soviet archives prove that Joseph McCarthy was right, down to the exact number of communist agents that he said had infiltrated our government. It was confirmed that all of the communists who had been tried and put in jail at the great liberal socialist newspaper establishment claimed were railroaded, they weren't guilty, really were guilty, really were communists, really are communists, and deserve exactly what they got. And you have no idea how far this has gone, ladies and gentlemen. It has gone so far that in a school in Phoenix, Arizona, the Valley View Elementary School in the Roosevelt Elementary School District, the principal proposed that they have a morning ceremony before school. Before school, ladies and gentlemen, where anybody who wanted to could come and they could all say the Pledge of Allegiance together. Guess what? The school teachers are up in arms against this. You see, the school teachers say they are citizens of the world, not of the United States. They want to devalue United States citizenship, and they want to foster disrespect for the nation that, despite its glaring flaws, is the very best in the world. They say they see no purpose for a patriotic ritual when the flag is a symbol of discrimination. Can you believe that? These are school teachers that are teaching our children. They claim that they are citizens of the world, not of the United States. And I say, if they're not citizens of the United States of America, round up their ugly asses and put them on a boat and kick them the hell out of this country. And the quicker we do it, the better. Let them be citizens of the world, somewhere else in the world. Here we have citizens of the United States of America and citizens of the states. They don't like state citizenship either, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it was voluntary. Any student that didn't want to, or any member of the community didn't want to, didn't have to show up and say the pledge. Nobody was being forced. But guess what? The Arizona Repulsive, which is one of the two socialist newspapers, one of the only two newspapers we have in Phoenix, Arizona, both socialist, both owned by the same organization, by the way. One pretends to be conservative. You see, all across the country, ladies and gentlemen, every city, there's at least two papers. One will pretend to be conservative, and the other one is really socialist. Both of them really are socialist, if you really read them and understand what's going on. In the Arizona Repulsive, in a cartoon called Benson's View, it shows Hitler standing with his arm raised to the American flag with far right on an armband around his sleeve, holding a little child in a death grip, and it says, quote, "I force allegiance to my flag of the Gestapo States of America. Stand up straight, kid, and to the repression for which it stands, one mindset and a threat undiscussable. Keep that hand over your heart, punk. With discrimination and injustice for some, like them no good poor and minority folk," end quote. You see what these scum-sucking, puke-faced, socialist, rabid dogs do to the truth? The truth was an American principle put forth an idea whereby anyone in the community, students, parents, community leaders, anybody who wanted to come to the school, before school started in the morning, and just have a little flag-raising ceremony and say the Pledge of Allegiance, could do so if they wished. No one was forced to come or would be forced to come. The teachers got up in arms and threatened to walk out, claiming that they are citizens of the world, not of the United States of America. And you wonder why your children are so screwed up? And then the Arizona Repulsive prints this disgusting cartoon, which is a total lie. You see, you have to know the truth, ladies and gentlemen. You must know the truth. Do you know that all around the country, in courts of law, parents who take schools to court for violating the rights of the parents and of their children are being told by judges that they lose their rights to their children when they drop them off at school? That's correct. How can that happen? Well, it is happening in America, spelled with a K. I could go through the Constitution for the United States of America, article by article, point by point, and show you, ladies and gentlemen, that we are not the United States of America that you always thought that we were. That if the Constitution is truly in effect, it is not effect in this country. And judges in courtrooms all across the land are telling people who cite the Constitution that if they do it again in their court, they will be cited for contempt and thrown in jail. Doors are broken down without search warrants. The military is used in law enforcement and military weapons and machinery. No state tenders in payment of debt gold or silver coin. You are not safe and secure, and your papers, possessions are in yourselves, nor is your home, nor your car, nor anything else. You do not have the right to travel unimpeded, unrestricted, because they can stop you and arrest you at the slightest provocation, and even without provocation, anytime they want, anywhere they want. unconstitutional? You bet your life it is. And that's another reason why the Constitution is not in effect. Is the Constitution the supreme law of the land? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is. It is. It is ignored. It has been thrown into the trash can. It is disregarded. It is stepped on. It is vilified. And anyone who believes in it is called a terrorist. You don't want to call yourself a constitutionist today, ladies and gentlemen. For as in Cicero's Rome, if you do, you will be quickly and eventually dispatched. Unless you have the guts to stand up and fight. So I want you all to know that when I sit here and tell you the facts as they really are in the real world, that I'm not trying to discourage you, I'm not trying to send you into fits of depression, I'm not trying to take away your hope or your will. I'm trying my very best to give you the situation as it really is, so that whatever despair it is going to cause you, it will cause you, and you will recover from it, and then you can join with the rest of us in the real battle. Not the phony battle spinning around in some little eddy by the side of the stream as the real current rushes by. Not the eddy of spinning around on your couch writing letters endlessly over and over again that get no result. Have you seen the latest Bob Dole commercial for why we should elect him to the presidency of the United States of America? His wife sitting there saying that Bob Dole wouldn't lie to you. Bob Dole is a man of his word and he will never go back on his word. And she is lying to you when she says it. He has always gone back on his word. Isn't it Bob Dole that promised us that NAFTA would not pass? Trust Bob Dole, he said. I will make sure it does not get through the Senate. Isn't it Bob Dole that said GATT would not pass? Trust me, he said, I will make sure that GATT does not get through the Senate. Isn't it Bob Dole that when he was nominated and gave his acceptance speech at the Republican National Convention said that he was going to go after the WTO, the World Trade Organization, because it was bad for America? And he couldn't understand how such a thing had ever happened. It was Bob Dole who did it. Bob Dole is a liar. And you have to understand these things. Why can he blatantly lie like that and get away with it? Because the average sheeple has an attention span of probably 30 seconds, and that's why most television and radio commercials are exactly 30 seconds in length. So they know they can lie to you over and over and over again, because 3 days later, nobody, except a very few of us, will ever remember it or care about it. Because everybody else has just moved on to some other distraction. And they've forgotten about it. They're too busy having a party. Or figuring out how to get laid. Or how to get more money at their job without really doing anything more for it. All the while complaining and castigating their boss and their employer for paying them that paycheck for doing as little as they did. Isn't it amazing? What galls me, ladies and gentlemen, is that those of us who are really fighting this battle and putting the lives of ourselves and our families in danger because of it are doing it for so many people who don't even care and don't deserve it and probably really should be enslaved. if you want to know the truth. It's really quite disgusting. In my humble estimation. What do you think? Recently, ladies and gentlemen, in Pennsylvania, Steve Ames and his wife lost their two children. Why? Well, because they instructed them in politics and religion. Yes, I said it right, ladies and gentlemen. They read to them from the Bible, and they told them the truth about the Federal Reserve, amongst other things. Tonight's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They specialize in non-reportable, non-confiscatable hard assets.
Well, there we go, ladies and gentlemen. We're reaching the end of the show here. And as you know, Swiss America Trading no longer sponsors the Hour of the Time. We are listener-supported. You can contact us at our regular mailing address of HOTT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelt E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Our website is hourofthetime.com. Once again, that's hourofthetime.com. Our regular call-in number and message line is 928-333-2942. And if you're interested in getting contact with us here at the Canadian studio, it's 613-733-4324. And our Canadian address is Hour of the Time, 2446 Bank Street, Suite 444. That's in Ottawa, O-T-T-A-W-A, postal code K1V1A, as in Apple 8. So we'll just end the show up with whatever Bill has to say. Thanks for listening, ladies and gentlemen.
At least that's the way the law reads now. And I don't know what happened there. Oh, I know what happened there. That's the way the law reads now, but remember, they can change that at any time. So when we say non-reportable, non-confiscatable, we're talking about the way the law is written today. Could change tonight, could change tomorrow. Could change by executive decree 3 seconds from now. And it might. Which means that if you want to get your hands on some real money, you should do it. And then take steps to make sure that nobody knows that you have it. Because it won't be reported if you do it while it's non-reportable. Nobody will know that you have it but you. And safeguard it. Put it somewhere where no one will know where it is at so that you can get it. And I mean not in a bank deposit box. Ladies and gentlemen. not in a safekeeping box, not in any kind of those boxes in the banks that you walk in behind in the vault and do it. Because if they close the bank, they got it. And if they don't want to give it to you, they don't have to. 1-800-289-2646. Call now, ladies and gentlemen. Thank them for sponsoring this broadcast and the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-BUY-COIN. Good night, and God bless you all.
If you want something to play with, go and find yourself a star. Baby, my time is too expensive, and I'm not a little boy. If you are serious, don't play with my heart, it makes me furious.
Wake up, ladies and gentlemen. Abdicate or activate. The choice is yours. The future.
Baby, I wish.
The future is in your hands.
Girl, you know I wish. Tell it like it is. Don't be ashamed. Let your conscience be your guide. But down inside of me, I believe you love me. Forget your foolish pride. Life is too short to have sorrow. You may be here today and gone tomorrow.
This is the Voice of Freedom.